Happy Sabbath. So wonderful to see you all on this glorious Sabbath day. Started out a little overcast, but you know, the sun popped out. God has a way of making Sabbath look visually amazing. And then what he does inside the church is also just as amazing. Before we get into our morning's message, get our PowerPoint up this morning. I'd like to bring some things to your attention. First of all, we have a, I believe, a week of prayer coming up. It's entitled, does anybody remember the title? In the Twinkling of an Eye. We'll be having Sister Carol Barron come and share with us. Yesterday I gave her a call because she'll be coming to us from Orlando. I said, are you okay, sister? She's like, I'm okay, Pastor. I said, I'm just checking. And so she's preparing to come, and she's so excited. So make plans. October 1st to the 6th will be our week of prayer at 7 p.m. at this place. Next week you'll have some handouts that you can give or invitations that you can give to your friends and neighbors. But I need to tell you about something as we're switching computers again. On September 16th, there's going to be something taking place that you will want to be a part of. Something that doesn't happen every week, neither every month or every year. And it's about being proactive about our school. God is doing things in our church school, and I want to give you an opportunity to take a look at that video.
Did you know that more than one out of every five students reports being bullied at school?
In 1 month, nearly 6% of all high school students stayed home
because they felt unsafe at school.
Since 2013, there have been over 200 school shootings in America.
And sadly,
prayer is not allowed in many schools.
There's power in prayer.
We need it more than ever.
We need to be surrounded by our prayers.
Prayers for protection.
Prayers for guidance.
Prayers for wisdom.
Prayers for all kids,
even the bullies.
We need you to pray for us,
please.
There is power in prayer.
There is power in prayer.
I mean, just pray, you know?
Talk to God about me, about my friends, my school, and my teachers.
Excuse me? Yes, you.
We need your prayers, too.
Please pray for me.
So listen up, people.
Don't forget Sabbath, September 16th,
2 o'clock.
Come and pray for us.
Join us for our first prayer walk.
Back to school prayer walk.
An FYI, for your information. Thank you for praying for us.
The Bible says, then you will call on me. Come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Jeremiah 29:12.
So what will you do next Sabbath at 2 p.m. at Roseburg Junior Academy? It's our prayer walk. They've asked us to pray for them.
our little ones, God's little ones. And so one last thing I want to bring to your attention. How many of you would like to be on TV? Thank you for being honest way up there. I have a hunch there's a part of all of us, maybe a little bit, that would want to be on TV. Well, today you'll get your opportunity. No, there's no cameras here. But after our church service, I told you that we're having a week of prayer coming up. And Doug Garcia from Better Life Broadcasting is here. And he also brought along his handy-dandy drone. And he's going to be videotaping us because we're going to be inviting the community to come to our week of prayer. And so that'll be, we don't have a script. All we have to do is this. That's all we have to do. Very easy. And so after our worship service, we're going to be meeting in the parking lot. And Doug will get his drone ready, and he will tape, and he'll put that into an invitation that will be broadcasted all over Roseburg. With that being said, let us bow our heads. Loving Father, you who loves us so much that you gave us your only begotten Son, so that we would not die, so that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. That same love that you have from in the beginning is the same love you're trying to express to us this very day. And so, Father, help us to hear your word of truth, your word of love in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a hunch that whoever's turn it was to do our reader board here on Garden Valley, they were thanking me for such a short sermon title. And inquiring minds want to know, what in the world is the pastor up to? And if you've heard my sermons by now, you probably realize I most likely won't get to it until the end. But, for the last at least 2 months, I've been studying Matthew chapter 24. And that chapter is loaded with things for you and I, not just to listen or think about, but to consider in our lives today. Matthew chapter 24. In fact, we started on this journey mid-August, at least in my preaching content. And so don't think that I'm coming to Matthew chapter 24 just because of what we see on the news. No. It just happens to be that God's creation is responding to the word of God. As soon Jesus will come. Do you believe Jesus is coming soon? This is the question, friends. Do you believe? You know, I hear that same word in John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe that Jesus indeed is coming back soon? Because the truth isn't Jesus might come. The truth isn't Jesus should come, neither is it Jesus could come, neither is it Jesus isn't coming. That's not the truth. The truth is Jesus is coming soon. That's what my Bible tells me. That's what your Bible tells me. And Matthew chapter 24, we see natural calamities. And what I like about what we've been going through is that for some reason, the pastor keeps on coming back to these calamities. It's almost as if it was Jesus' way of repeating and expanding, where there are some signs that we just keep on seeing as further fulfillments of God's word are coming to fruition. You see, This is a map of all the fires in the Pacific Northwest, and the Pacific Northwest is on fire. I mean, it's just the last few days that we've been able to do this. Because it's just been so bad. That's just one map. Another map looks like this, where there's fire after fire after fire. And praise God for our firefighters. Praise God for those who are working extensively for our own safety. That's just one thing. But, you know, you can take your pick. You can talk about Harvey and its 50 inches of rain. You can talk about Irma and Barbuda flattened, and Florida that's getting ready. Or you can talk about Katia or Jose or Chiapas, Mexico. And this is just of the things that Western media is talking about. Because there's so many, many, many other things that does not make our news that is happening. Huh. I turn on the tube and you got discussions and debates. Climate change, no climate change. But what I don't hear on the news is this: Jesus is coming soon. That's the real discussion. Jesus is coming soon. And so, sticking in Matthew chapter 24, in fact, we're going to be spending all of our time here. We've talked about these natural calamities, and Jesus in chapter 24 talks about some false teachers. And if there's false teachers, are there true teachers? Yes, there are. In fact, how do you know something is true? In fact, last week we talked a little bit about that. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because what? There is no light in them. So how else do we know something is true? Well, let's go to John 8:32, but keep your finger back in Matthew 24. There'll be some verses I put up, some verses I don't. So hopefully you have your Bible handy. The Bible says, and ye shall know the what? The truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if there's truth, there's also falsehood. Amen. Then Jesus said in John 17:17, we know this verse full well, but I'm going to turn myself to those pages. And it says, sanctify them through thy what? Truth. Thy word is truth. You see, when we're in the Word of God, when we're in Bible truth, it has a sanctifying power. You see, if I start disbelieving that God loves me, if I start disbelieving that Jesus is not coming, then guess what? My life also starts becoming unsanctified. Because now my faith, or the lack of it, has started affecting my life. Matthew chapter 24, we talked about what we see. And in fact, we're to the point where we almost have to turn off the tube. We have to not go to certain websites that talk about these news, because we get engrossed in it almost. What's happening here? What's happening there? And we could become obsessed with what's happening as of late. We talked about our false teachers that Jesus said would be uprising. But also Jesus said that there would be an unappreciated message before Jesus comes back. In other words, there's something very special that God wants to give to us, and we just tell him, just like at the stores, I'm just looking. I'm not, what's that word? I'm not interested. I'm just looking. A message that is unlike any other message. And in fact, as we saw last week, we saw the roots of this message that we see in the second angel's message that started 1844, that crescendos into the loud cry of Revelation chapter 18. And here we are. And the ironic thing is that when we see these calamities, for some reason, people want to pray more. Aren't you glad that we have prayer meeting? Some weeks, every week we have prayer meeting. Not just do we have prayer meeting every single week, but October 1st to the 6th, we have week of prayer. Jesus said, but as the days of who? Noah were. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Not very exciting verse, huh? Noah. As in the days of Noah. Well, verse 37, did Noah even live? Some people are even wondering, well, that flood story, is it even true? Jesus talked about it. It's in the Bible, therefore it must be true. Taking that a step further, well, did the Son of Man even come the first time? For there's many who question whether or not Jesus actually did come the first time. My Bible tells me that Jesus indeed did come the first time. And taking that a step further, is the Son of Man coming the second time? All right. I think we're on a sequence here. And so verse 38 says, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So I know it's not very juicy. Oh, but it's very tasty. How were the days before the flood? Do we know? Well, the Bible tells us. Let's go to Genesis 6, verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was a little bit on the earth, was great in the earth, and that some imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination, every thought was bad. God had to say, you know what? Enough is enough. And church family, we are there. Even the supposed good thing that man thinks is for mankind, I'm not too sure these days. I mean, now we see these little gadgets that have like a center thing you hold on to and it kind of spins and there you are going around and around. They call that good. Looks like a time waster to me. Keep me nervous. Relax. But Jesus said, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And so, is eating and drinking bad? Well, I'm sure you're going to say no because we're about to go to potluck. No, eating and drinking is not bad. But yet Jesus said they were eating and drinking. And so if eating and drinking is not bad, well, then what was it that was so bad? Well, let's not even go that far. Let's come home. Let's come to Douglas County. This is according to an article by Carissa Savasky in the News Review, April 5th of this year, 2017, entitled, Douglas Still Doing Poorly in County Health Rankings. This article said that 31% of the population is obese. I'm not talking about the days of Noah. I'm talking about our county in this year. But what else? We are ranked 30th as a county in premature death. That's like we're not living as long as we should be. And not because it was a car accident or some external factor, but because of our own health choices. Interesting. I must make a confession. 2 weeks ago, my wife and I finally found a new doctor here in Roseburg. We've been here over a year, and one of the things that we've come to realize is there's a huge shortage of doctors, of physicians. We had to take a number. And if we had to take a long wait to finally find a physician, should we be taking more care of our bodies or less care of our bodies? Most definitely. I mean, if we're waiting for the physician to tell us what needs to be happening in our bodies, in our diet, when God has already said so, have mercy on us. Has God told us what to eat? Pastor, you messing with my plate now. I don't like that. I don't mess with your plate. Don't mess with my plate. Well, let's see what the Bible says. The Bible says, Genesis 1:29, and God said, see, I've given you every what? Every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose what? Fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for what? Food. Huh. God has told us what to eat. And you may say, be telling me, Pastor, don't you remember what happened after the flood? Yeah, I'm mindful of that. And you know what? God is so patient with us. He works with us. He takes us step by step in our Christian journey. There was days in which all I could do was down my Mountain Dew. And I remember when I was back in college at Andrews in my undergraduate, home was back in New York. And it was about a 12-hour drive from Andrews in Bering Springs, Michigan, to Long Island, New York, where we lived. And all through those 12 hours, I was down in Mountain Dew. But then one day I said, I'm going to try an experiment. I'm going to see, because I wanted to stay awake, hence all the caffeine, I'm going to see what would happen if I just drank, get this, water. And I kid you not, I had so much more energy than any of those caffeinated drinks. You see, over time, from the Mountain Dew and those caffeinated drinks, I went to non-caffeinated drinks. I went from non-caffeinated drinks to Gatorade. From Gatorade to juice. From juice to water. For some of us, we make that jump a whole lot quicker. Praise the Lord. But for others of us, it could be a little bit more of a transition, and that's okay. And so the Bible talks about, you know, if you're going to eat meat, eat the clean ones. But one verse of the Bible doesn't negate another verse of the Bible. Meaning, the principle is still there, which is, there still is a better diet. And if I'm going to be waiting for my turn to go see the doctor, I might want to think about that. At this rate, you see, everything that God made was good. And the devil, he puts in our minds that we need to be temperate in bad things. You know, moderation in everything. But we need to be moderate in good things. We don't need to be moderate with the bad stuff. The bad stuff we put aside. We need to be moderate and temperate in the good things. Because if I drink too much water, it could kill me. Literally. If I get too much sleep, it could kill me. If I do too much exercise, it could kill me. Too much sunshine, it could kill me. Temperate in the good things. Food was our first parent's temptation. Right? Food was Jesus' first temptation. And food is our first temptation. Because I don't understand it. There's like something that goes on right here that makes me go crazy. I lose my mind. And I start making my decisions based on what's here, rather than surrendering that to the Lord, which is a much better choice. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, what does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 10, 31. The Bible says, whether ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And Jesus said that before, that just as in the days of Noah, where they were doing what? Eating and drinking. Interesting. And here Paul is saying, whether you what? Eat or drink, do it for what purpose? The glory of God. All right. Eating and drinking. Is it so bad, Pastor, that you got to tell us in a sermon about eating and drinking? Well, here's the thing. It's not my idea. The issue is Jesus said it. That's the issue, not me. What has brought about this foodie epidemic upon us? I mean, we even have a new term, foodie. That's like someone who is so encompassed with where things taste best and taking advantage of that and, oh, I want to eat here and I don't want to eat there. And there's a place for that because, trust me, I want to eat good food. But if that's what engulfs all that I do, then maybe what I'm doing is not for God's glory, but maybe it could be for my own. Just as in the days of Noah were, the Bible says, Spirit of Prophecy says, God did not condemn the antediluvians for eating and drinking. He had given them the fruits of the earth in great abundance to supply their physical wants. Their sin consisted in taking these gifts without gratitude to the giver and debasing themselves by indulging appetite without restraint. Furthermore, a similar condition of things exists when? Now. That which is lawful in itself is carried to excess. Appetite is indulged without restraint. Professed followers of Christ are today eating and drinking with the drunken while their names stand in honored church records. Intemperance benumbs the moral and spiritual powers and prepares the way for indulgence of the lower passions. Patriarchs and Prophets 101. You see, what they were eating wasn't the good stuff because they were led by their appetite, that they took that appetite and gratified it to an extreme that now the decisions that they were making were bad ones. Have you ever noticed when we've eaten a whole bunch of bad stuff, one, we don't feel good physically, but maybe we might not be making the best decisions afterwards? It's happened to me. Maybe it's happened to you. But what's the big thing? What's the big deal about being healthy? The big deal is this. The Bible says that before Jesus comes back, there would be a people who have a worldwide message that had something to do with fearing God and giving him what? And Paul said, whether you eat or do what? All to the glory of God. So tell me, church family, how am I going to share this message of the three angels' messages if I'm too busy going to all these different doctors, popping pills here, popping pills there, bedridden, I don't think I'll be able to do that. I'm almost incapacitated to give the message. Why? Because in my own life, I'm not fearing God, neither am I giving him glory. You see, church family, we're coming to a time in which in our churches, we're going to start seeing different kind of ministers. How so? No, I'm not going anywhere. But you're going to find ministers who preach the three angels' messages and those who don't. We are living in that time. And yet I live in a world that wants to make me happy. All I want to do is have some mercy. Girls just want to have. That's the world we live in. It's just about me. Me, me, and some more me. I might even want to live happily ever. What else did Jesus say was happening in the days of Noah? They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving into marriage. All right. Marrying and giving in marriage. What's so bad about that? People get married all the time. Last weekend, I knew of three friends that got married. Different marriages. But marriage can be not just a good thing, a great thing. And yet we live in a time in which people are in haste to get into marriage. In fact, you know, there's some comments from Spirit of Prophecy that make me chuckle when I read them. Because Ellen White had a sense of humor. She said, marriage is uncertain business. Because what you think you're getting into, you sign the deal, and you get married, and you go home, and you make your lives together, and it was so not what you were expecting. Am I preaching to the choir? Well, look at this. It is lawful for them to marry. Marriage was in God's order. It was one of the first institutions which he established. He gave special directions concerning this ordinance, clothing it with sanctity and beauty. But these directions were forgotten. And marriage was what? Perverted and made to minister to what? Passion. Well, how was it that marriage, the directions were forgotten and marriage got perverted? Well, I'm so glad for the Spirit of Prophecy. Messages to Young People 456. The great crime in the marriages of the days of who? Noah. Was that the sons of God formed alliances with the daughters of men. Those who professed to acknowledge and revere God associated with those who were corrupt of heart, and without discrimination, they married whom they would. There are many in this day who have no depth of religious experience who will do exactly the same things as were done in the days of Noah. There's always exceptions to the rule, but that exception is a very small percentage. But Noah's days, what was it that caused the perversion? The sons of God did what? They got together with the daughters of men. Some people would like to think, oh, is that talking about like angels getting together with humans? No. This is about the followers of God getting together with the followers of man. Those who walked not with God. And we see this repeated time and time again. And we think that great results will come about. You see, marriage works when there is one committed person to God and to their spouse, gets together with another person who's committed to God and their spouse. If they're not committed to God, it's just a time bomb ready and waiting to happen. And so, I'd like to say that this is just happening in the world, but it's happening in the church. And I remember seeing people stroll up to church, saints coming in and say, "Pastor, I want you to meet my new boyfriend." And God loves that person, but they're just on two different roads. One road is walking with the Lord, and the other road is not. How are those roads going to get together? "Oh, Pastor, I'm going to change them." No, you can't change your spouse? You know, that's what people who are dating try to tell me. And so I try to tell them, listen, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt really, really bad. And then I'll try to make it easy for them. And they'll be like, "Pastor, what do you think about this relationship?" And I'll have to tell them, "Let me put it to you mildly. Run, baby, run! Get out, don't look back! I'm serious. This is serious business." Isn't that what we see through the children of Israel that brought their downfall, in that they saw some dear sisters who were Canaanites that followed different gods, and we thought we were going to change them, but guess what? They ended up changing us. Be careful. Who you choose to marry will affect your salvation. Because they will either lead you closer to God, or they will lead you in the direct other direction. Although countless warnings are given to evacuate, isn't that what you see on the TV screen? Get out from the Florida Keys, get out from Miami Beach, get out from Florida. Some people disregard the warnings. And what we're seeing about this eating and drinking and marrying and giving into marriage is some of the warnings. I even saw that policemen were going door to door saying, "Get out." Wow. You see, the reason why people don't get out is because they think they're strong enough. They think they're smart enough and that they can do it. And their strength is all in themselves rather than in God. And yet we have a myriad of warnings of Jesus' second coming, and we could be doing the very same thing. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm here to church on Sabbath. I'm okay. I'm doing the Adventist thing. Really? Eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, Jesus said would be signs of his coming. And we are living in a time in which all we want to make happy is ourselves. We want to trust ourselves, and we want to live for ourselves. That is the God of our age. Matthew 24, verses 14 to 30. We start seeing Jesus describe what this looks like. We know this parable. We see a traveling man, he goes out and he gives some talents to three servants. To one servant, he gives five talents. To another servant, he gives two talents. To another servant, he gives one talent. And so after some time goes by, now it's time to see what happened with those talents that were given. And he comes to the one who had five talents, and he said, "You know, when you were faithful with little, I'll make you faithful with what? with much. And he went from having five to having 10. And he went to the second guy, the guy who had two talents. And his two talents ended up being four because he was faithful in the little that he had. And then he went to the guy who had one talent. And that guy ended up with a big fat zero. The talent that he thought he had, he ends up without that talent. And that talent that he thought he had, well, the guy who ended up with 10, he ended up with that talent, so he ended up with 11 talents. Isn't that what the parable says? Interesting. I have a hunch that these two first servants, the one who ended up with 11 and the one who ended up with the four, they understood something about fearing God and giving him glory. But I wonder if my priority is on me, because I like me a whole lot. I love me some me. You see, our priorities are reflected in our use of time. Pastor, I just can't make it to church. Pastor, I can't make it to Sabbath school. I can't make it to prayer meeting. Well, let me ask you, if God is our first priority, what does that say about our time? Something to think about. Not just there, but our priorities are also reflected in how we use money. Sometimes we get up here and we call for the offering. And we say, we need electricity. We need heating. Lord knows we need air conditioning. We need these papers. We need money for that. The foyer. But let me tell you, our use of money, which last time I checked, all of it belongs to him. He just calls us to return 10% and give offerings. Our use of money represents what's most important to us. And so I ask myself, if we have been lacking in our church budget offering month after month after month after month, what does that say about my priorities? I'm just being honest. Praise the Lord, as I said, of how God works with us through time as he took away that Mountain Dew from my lips. Maybe that first step is giving a faithful tithe and offering. Maybe that's something we're already, the tithe is something we're already doing. Maybe that next step is giving a faithful 1% church budget offering. And then over time, giving a 2%, and then a 3%, and then a 4%, then a 5%, and then on. We keep on going. Because how we use money reflects our priority. And I have a hunch God is your priority. And last but not least, our effort and our service also represents where our priorities are at. I'd like to tell you that when we got together for nominating committee, we met one time because everybody we called said, yes, 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 yes. Oh, it didn't happen that way, huh? It is time to reflect God being our priority in our usage of time, money, and our effort. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. That's scripture for you. And not just that, but Luke 21, verse 31. Come back to that. Luke 21, verse 31. Jesus gives one other detail about the days of Noah. Verse 34 of Luke 21. The Bible says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you, how? Unawares. See, we think we know when Jesus is coming back. Oh, when I see all these things coming back, I'm going to get my act together. Yeah, right. It's not going to be that way. Jesus said, Matthew 24:39, and did not what? Did not know until the flood came and took them, who? Took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. You see, what is it that they did not know? They did not know the time of their visitation. They did not know that it was time to get into the ark because the rain was coming. The rain is coming. We know not the hour. Isn't that what we were just singing here? He will come. Let us watch and take it easy. Let us watch and be ready. He will come. And if we're not ready to say, when Jesus comes, hallelujah, something's not right. Because right here we have people who can't wait to see him, and we have people that if he were to come today, they would not be too ecstatic. We know not the hour. On a side prophetic note, since we're talking about the days of Noah in the context of Jesus' second coming, they had heaven sent warnings, but they refused to what? Listen. And today the world, utterly regardless of the warning voice of God, is hurrying on to eternal ruin. The world is stirred with the spirit of war. The prophecy of the 11th chapter of Daniel has nearly reached its complete fulfillment. Soon the scenes of trouble spoken of in the prophecies will take place. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 9, page 14. Why is this of any significance? Because we have some very good intention Bible scholars who are thinking that Daniel chapter 11 is talking about the king of the south and that it's supposedly Islam. But yet here, Jesus and the spirit of prophecy put as in the days of Noah as exactly what would be the fulfillment of the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. Interesting. I'd like to say that at the end of time, there's going to be three groups. There will only be two. And tell me, church family, what's going to be the big distinction between those two groups? There's going to be a group of people that fear God and give him glory and are faithfully obedient, robed in his righteousness, who also keep the Sabbath. And those who thought they knew him, that were faithfully disobedient, which include not observing the Sabbath. And we see the third angel's messages, third angel's message specifically, talking about this reality. You see, every day probation closes. What? Yeah, you heard me. Every day probation closes for somebody. Somebody passes away. Guess what? Their probation closed. The time that they had to make a decision for Christ, it stopped. It ended. The Bible says that Jesus, he starts with the judgment of the dead in Christ, of those who believed in Christ before their passing, and then moves on to the living. We don't know when he's moved on from the dead to the living. We go to funerals these days, and there's a beloved saint that has passed away, and we say, oh, they most definitely are going to be in the resurrection. As if we were the high priest ministering in the most holy place. As if we had access to the books of heaven. When we go to a funeral memorial service, we need to recognize that that person believed in Jesus and loved Jesus. But we need to leave the judgment to our high priest. The real question is, has my probation closed? And that's a question that is at the back of our minds. And some of us are praying, hopefully it hasn't ended. Hopefully it hasn't concluded. Jesus said, Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me. The question isn't whether or not probation is closed, which it will close soon. The question is, have I gotten into the ark where it's safe? Come unto me, Jesus said. And then 1 Peter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Have you made your mind up? Have you made your mind up about surrendering completely to Jesus? You see, some of these things that I've been talking about, it deals with not what we see on TV. It deals not with somebody else's issues. It deals with my own day-to-day activity. You see, CNN won't be reporting that probation is closed. Because my Bible tells me in Matthew 24, verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. We will not know when probation has closed, but it will close. But what an opportunity to come to Jesus today. 8. How many people got in the boat? And I look down this row or this half of the church. I look up there. I look up here. And I even look to the chapel. And I praise God. There's a whole lot more than 8 in every section represented. But I must stop and ask myself. I know it won't just be 8. It'll be more than that. But have I made my decision? It's not going to be a whole bunch of people. It will be a smaller number. It will not be the popular thing. It will be the unpopular thing, actually. 8. Because we think, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to know when everything's going south. I'm going to know when to get into the ark. I'm going to know when to make these decisions and allow Christ to have full surrender in my life. But guess what? They knew not. They just got in the boat. These 8 did. Maybe thinking, Pastor, is there any hope for me? You've been talking about doom and gloom this morning. Is there any hope for me? This past week, I had a young man. He said, Pastor, I've done so much stuff. Can God still use me? I had another guy come up to me. He said, Pastor, my marriage is falling apart. Is there any hope for my marriage? I had another person tell me, Pastor, I know what I'm eating isn't good. Is there any hope for me? And in every conversation, the answer is a resounding yes. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Has God been good to you? Then how is his goodness affecting your heart and my heart? Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He will come. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? I want to come to repentance in my life. How about you? I'm realizing that there's some things in my life as I look to Jesus that are not giving him glory that I need to surrender. And I need power from on high, power from the Holy Spirit. And this melody of hover o'er me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, what? Fill me, Lord. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. But then I heard the Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. It's time to be emptied of ourselves. It's time to be filled with Jesus and his Holy Spirit. If you want to make that decision today, if you want to make your mind up about being ready for his coming, stand with me, folks. We're going to be singing about the Holy Spirit. May we not just sing, but plead with God so that this prayer may be our daily prayer. Hymn number 260.
Spirit.
Thank you, Father, because you've made provision to give us power that we do not have. You've called us at such a time as this to live and give you glory. You've called us to share this message in life, in word, and in action. We ask, O Father, that we may first receive your grace at home and let your Spirit permeate every area of our lives. Father, there is a great work yet to be done in Roseburg. As soon Jesus will come, may we not postpone any decision that we need to make in preparation for that day. For we will not know when probation closes. We will not know when the day will come. Soon we shall see Jesus, and may we be found ready. In Jesus' name, amen.